Light looked down and beheld darkness. I will go there, said Light. Peace looked down and beheld war. I will go there, said Peace. Love looked down and saw hatred. I will go there, said Love. So Light came and shone. So Peace came and gave rest. So Love came and brought Light. So we come here to receive them all. Amen. Good evening. Welcome to First Congregational Church. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry. And no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link and get all sorts of information about life in the congregation. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaning for you. This is an intergenerational worship service, which means we expect what? Joyful noise. Our nursery is not staffed tonight, but there is a streaming service in the nursery, so one of the ushers can help you find it if you need a place to roll around on the floor instead of sitting here. Huge thanks to all the volunteers at FCC Natick, all working hard to make things go as smoothly as possible this evening. That being said, since Christmas is a story of God showing up when things go awry, we expect something will go wacky tonight to remind us to look for God. Folks at home, I'm hoping you might have a candle nearby or a flashlight or even just lights that you can turn off in your room. At the end of the service, we're going to dim the lights in the sanctuary, light our candles, and sing Silent Night together. Tonight, we gather in person and at home to share with each other the Christmas story. And it's a story perfect for our time. It is full of people dealing with challenges and disappointments, grief and pain, and the angels who keep showing up to help them make meaning, find purpose, and go on. On this Christmas Eve, may we hear it with fresh ears. May it work its way into our weary hearts so that we can make the story our own and bring it to life in our own lives. This is the night
that shepherds and their beasts come to a cradle.
This is the night
that stars and voices flood the sky.
This is the night
that God comes here, right here. Yes, here.
This is the night.
So let's come in out of the cold, gather around the candlelight, listen for the story, and prepare to welcome God.
Our first carol is number 132, O Come All Ye Faithful. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Thank you. Tonight is Christmas Eve, the end of the season of Advent, the time of remembering that God comes to us in amazing ways, including through the birth of a tiny, helpless child.
With this Advent wreath, we prepare for God to come once again. The round shape of the wreath reminds us of the unbroken love of God. The green branches speak of new life found in relationship with God, and the candles proclaim the light that God brings into our lives.
On this Christmas Eve, we light all five candles in our Advent wreath. We relight the candles of peace, joy, love, and hope. Every week of Advent, we have added another candle, and the light has shone more brightly.
Tonight, we light the Christ candle, the candle that represents Jesus, in the center of the wreath. With the birth of Christ, our lives are centered, focused, turned towards God.
Jesus came to people who were hurting and lost, and he showed his followers how to care for each other. Today, we experience our own pain and suffering and see those around us struggling to know what we're here for.
The Christ candle is a beacon in the night, a light that helps us find our way. It shows us life's meaning, to love God, each other, and ourselves.
As we light the Christ candle and relight the candles of hope, peace, joy, and love, the flickering of the flame in the center of the circle of light reminds us that God is a light for the world and the center of our lives.
We're not going to just stare at John while he works so hard to light all those candles. Beloved, on this Christmas Eve, on a troubled planet, we gather in desperate need of peace. Not an easy peace, not an insignificant peace, not a half-hearted peace, but a peace that can change our lives and the world. God's peace, a peace that does not pass away. A peace that is not bound by space or time, a peace that grows whenever we see the divine in one another. Let us share this peace with one another, my friends, both on site and online, and commit to growing that peace in the world. The peace of God be with you. This is a church that gets up a little bit and says hello and Merry Christmas, and then we'll sit back down.
cheers to the music this evening. Lesson one. Our first scripture lesson this evening is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 26 through 35 and 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But Mary was much perplexed by their words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed her. May these words open our minds and stir our souls. And let's join together in our next carol, "Hark, the Herald Angels Sing." Amen. You may be seated.
Our second reading is "What Are You Here For?" by Quinn G. Caldwell. If you came to this place expecting a tame story, you came to the wrong place. If you came for a story that does not threaten you, you came for a different story than the one we tell.
If you came to hear the coming of a God who only showed up so that you could have a nice day with your loved ones, then you came for a God whom we do not worship here. For even a regular baby is not a tame thing, and goodness that cannot threaten complacency and evil is not much good at all.
And a God who would choose to give up power and invincibility to become an infant for you certainly didn't do it just so you could have dinner. But if you came because you think that unwed teenage mothers are some of the strongest people in the world,
if you came because you think that the kind of people who work third shift doing stuff you'd rather not do might attract an angel's attention before you, snoring comfortably in your bed, would.
If you came because you think there are wise men and women to be found among undocumented travelers from far lands, and that they might be able to show you God.
If you came to hear a story of tyrants trembling while heaven comes to peasants.
If you came because you believe that God loves the animals as much as the people and so made them the first witnesses to the saving of the world.
If you came for a story of reversals that might end up reversing you.
If you came for a tale of adventure and bravery.
Where strong and gentle people win.
And the powerful and violent go down to dust.
Where the rich lose their money but find their lives.
And the poor are raised up like kings.
If you came to be reminded that God loves you too much to leave you unchanged.
If you came to follow the light, even if it blinds you.
If you came for salvation and not safety.
Then, my friends,
you are in the right place.
Our second lesson this evening is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. May we too hear God's messengers all around us. Our next carol is number 135, "Angels We Have Heard on High."
Thank you. Our next reading is Blessed Are You Who Bear the Light by Jan Richardson. Blessed are you who bear the light in unbearable times, who testify to its endurance amid the unendurable, who bear witness to its persistence when everything seems in shadow and in grief. Blessed are you in whom the light lives, in whom the brightness blazes, your heart a chapel, an altar, where the deepest night can be seen, the fire that shines forth in you. In unaccountable faith, in stubborn hope, in love that illumines every broken thing it finds.
Our third scripture passage this evening is Luke's story of Jesus' birth, chapter 2, verses 1, 3 through 7. Hear these holy words. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. May this reading touch our hearts and transform our lives.
My guess is that Jesus' mother, Mary, didn't have a lot of prenatal care. No doubt the women of her community were full of good guidance and support, but nobody handed out prenatal vitamins. Today, we know prenatal care has a significant impact on the lives of women and children, reducing complications and increasing birth weights. But for some women, the complication is accessing prenatal care in the first place. That kind of routine care is hard to access, especially if you are uninsured or underinsured. That's where programs like the Metro West Free Medical Program come in. Every Thursday evening from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m., the clinic addresses women's health issues, including prenatal care. That's in addition to Monday clinics for vision checks and Tuesday clinics where folks get care for high blood pressure, diabetes, depression, and more. The Metro West Free Medical Program helps over 1,000 of our neighbors access medical care each year. That medical care is foundational to overall well-being, the ability to consistently go to work and school, finding issues early while they're easier to address, reducing the burden on our already strained emergency rooms. This year, our Christmas offering is going to support the work of the Metro West Free Medical Program so that our neighbors will continue to benefit from this resource in the year ahead. Our gifts will help an elder avoid a stroke, a dad get the glasses he needs for his job, and a baby to start their life in good health. Folks in person, if you would like to participate, there are envelopes for the special offering in your pews, in person and at home. Donations can also be made online at our website. May our participation in the spiritual discipline of this evening's offering bring good health to our neighbors in 2025.
Thank you. Our final scripture reading this evening is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, the story of the shepherds.
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord shone before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you, born this day in the city of David, is a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find the child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger."
And suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors."
And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had happened that had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them.
But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
May these words open our minds and stir our souls.
So God had decided to go to Earth. Their mind was made up. Didn't matter how many arguments the angels offered, God was firm. Going to Earth. And the angels had plenty of arguments. First of all, why Earth? So many other great planets out there, further along in development, and arguably even more beautiful. But God was just stuck on Earth. That little blue marble had always been God's favorite art project. What about the chaos God's absence would create in heaven? Gabriel would be insufferable, insisting everyone had to listen to him while God was away. With the archangel Michael, he'd stand behind Gabe and like make faces at him until the two of them broke out into some kind of angelic wrestling match. The only good thing was how differently time moved on Earth, much slower than heaven. God planned to be gone about 33 years. That's just over a day and a half for angels. But still, it was a pretty risky day and a half. What might happen to God over there? They could be hurt, even killed. Not that God could be permanently killed, but it still wouldn't be any fun, especially for the angels who would have to do all the paperwork. The number of meetings necessary for this little adventure were already in triple digits. The angelic overtime was going to be just outrageous. But at this point, God's trip to Earth was a done deal. So the angel teams were just focused on threat reduction. How could they make this trip as smooth and safe as possible? First, the angels focused on form recommendations. That is what form God would take on Earth. There was a lot of support behind Team Mountain. God going to Earth as a Himalayan peak, or maybe an active volcano. But God insisted on being a living organism, taking in nutrients from the Earth itself. So support shifted to giant sequoia, majestic and vast, home to insects and birds and countless other creatures. But God rejected that idea too. They wanted to move around. So that led to a competition between angels supporting the blue whale so God could dive to the depths of the ocean and soar into the sky, or the cheetah, so God could employ the elegant speed of the fastest land animal, or the eagle, so God could get an almost angelic view of the earth. But God, in their usual renegade style, rejected all the suggestions. The plan, God insisted, was to go to earth as a human. A human. The angels were in an uproar. What a terrible idea. Humans are weak and naked and vulnerable. They can't fly, they're slow, and they can barely swim. Plus, had God seen what humans do to each other? Humans? Anything but a human. But the boss said human, so human it was. The angels went right into risk mitigation mode. Okay, they said, we can make it work. God just needs to agree to be the right sort of human. And in those days, that meant male, Roman, citizen, rich. Ooh, maybe even a politician or a business owner. The angels started warming up to the idea. Imagine what God could accomplish on earth with a little bit of power, authority, and money. This might all work out. God was as wise as the Psalms proclaimed. And then God just wiped away all their plans and hopes. Not gonna be Roman, God said. Not rich, not a citizen, somebody poor, God said. Living in oppression, God insisted. Oh yeah, and with brown skin, God announced. The angels were speechless. This was a terrible plan. God becoming flesh. Poor, weak, oppressed flesh. They could only get one concession out of God. God agreed to be male only because the angels convinced them that otherwise God wouldn't live long enough to do anything. Even still, God agreed to be male only if their human form could have a chance to support the strength of women. The angels were looking for any win they could get, so they agreed, but they didn't like it, any of it. This would be a life of pain and grief and loss. This was no place for a God. Then again, the angels were used to worshiping a rebel God. This wasn't the first time they thought God took unnecessary risks. Like, what if Moses had just poured burnt water on the burning bush? And it probably wouldn't be the last. God was going to earth. God, the creator of everything, the force behind everything, was going to become flesh. God was going to be hungry and sad. God was going to feel lonely and betrayed. God was going to be hurt badly. And God was going to die painfully. That's how the angels saw it. God kept trying to remind them of the rest. God was going to have neighbors and family and friends. God was going to be held in a father's arms, feel the touch of a mother's hands. God was going to laugh and sing, eat and drink. God was going to wash the feet of friends and have another friend bless their head with ointment. God was going to soak the heat of the desert into their skin and bathe in the River Jordan. God was going to put on beautiful, fragile, powerful human skin, become flesh, living with other flesh, and experience it all. Bless it all. And so the angels drafted a birth plan, prepared the press release, and chose a date around the time Jupiter and Saturn would be lined up together. They did everything they could to prepare God for the journey, but really they were working on preparing themselves, dealing with their own worries and stress about what would happen on earth. And so when the time came to announce the arrival of God, the Word made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, the angels started each speech the same way. The humans thought the words were for them, for people, shaking in their boots. But the angels were really talking to themselves every time they said the words, "Do not be afraid." 2,000 years later, it's still risky to have flesh. Thankfully, now we have indoor plumbing and vaccinations and food-safe regulations. but we still hurt and hate each other because of the color or shape or category we put a body in. Fat or female, brown or trans, disabled or ugly, we are so cruel to flesh each other's and our own. And that's why we need the incarnation, this idea of God taking on flesh. Because the Christian story tells us that when God became flesh and lived among us, God became part of all flesh forever and ever. So God is your flesh and mine. God is the flesh of a black teenage boy followed with suspicion by the neighborhood watch. God is the flesh of a father in Gaza desperate to keep his child alive. God is the flesh of the gay teen kicked out of their house just for being who they are. God is the flesh of a Haitian woman fearing she will be sent back to gang violence in the new year. God is the flesh of the homeless guy who probably will use your $5 to buy booze. God is the flesh of the woman bleeding in the ER because doctors are afraid that caring for her as she miscarries will land them in jail. God is the flesh of the relative on social media who always posts exactly the opposite of what you believe. God is the flesh of the veteran next door who screams in the night as the bombs go off in their dreams. God is your flesh and mine in all our beauty and in all our brokenness. And so we need a world that is safe for flesh, yours and mine. God became flesh and lived among us, says the Gospel of John. And God lives among us still, as close as your own breath, as near as your own skin. Thank God, God didn't listen to the angels and instead came to dwell in the flesh of us all. Amen. So let's proclaim it as we sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. Will you join us in prayer?
In this season of sacred hymns and rousing carols, how can we keep from singing?
God of love, Spirit of life, remind us to sing.
In this season of celebration and joy, when there is still plenty of loneliness and despair behind the tinsel, how can we keep from caring?
God of love, Spirit of life, remind us to care.
In this season of miracles, when a bright red ribbon of mystery is wrapped around this gift we call life, how can we keep from wondering?
God of love, spirit of life, remind us to wonder.
In this season of anticipation and magic, when children's faces beam like northern lights, how can we keep from laughing?
God of love, spirit of life, remind us to laugh.
In this season of hope, when people throughout the world are praying for peace and goodwill, how can we keep from praying?
God of love, spirit of life, remind us to pray.
And in this season of darkness and candlelight, when candles turn everything sacred, how can we keep from shining?
God of love, spirit of life, please keep our candles lit throughout the coming year and remind us to shine, bringing light to the world, as did the one whose birth we remember this night, who taught us to pray, saying, Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That is the correct response to any prayer. Okay, I made it through most of the service. For those of you at home, if you have a candle, come be ready, Sarah Lynn. So now I have my Sarah Lynn safety blanket here. For those of you at home, if you have a candle to light tonight, I invite you to get it now and to turn down the lights in your room if you are able, as we all get ready to receive candlelight and join together in silent night. Hear these words by Howard Thurman. I will light candles this Christmas, candles of joy despite all sadness, candles of hope where despair keeps watch, candles of courage for fears ever present, candles of peace for tempest-tossed days, candles of grace to ease heavy burdens, candles of love to inspire all my living, candles that will burn all the night long. Christmas Eve is a time for candlelight. We gather in darkness to sing. We seek shelter from the cold to tell stories. We light candles to create a spark of hope in the world. This evening we gather in spirit, those who are not with us tonight, loved ones who seem too far away, those who have little food or shelter this night, those who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, those who are living in fear and threat or reality of violence, those who wonder if they are loved. In this silence, we call them to mind in the quiet of our hearts. On this Christmas Eve, we each light a candle, and so all of us receive a bit of starlight, reflecting God's love to share with the world and show all that they are loved. The light of God's love comes from the Christ candle through your neighbor into your life.
Thank you.
Take a look around the sanctuary or on the screen. See the candlelight reflecting in the faces. See how they glow like starshine.
Okay. Candlelight lets us see our true nature. God's light shines upon us, each one of us, sparking anew our ability to work together to bring God's light to the world. Hear these words by Sophia Leon Faz. For so the children come, and so they have been coming, always in the same way they come, born of the seed of man and woman. No angels herald their beginnings, no prophets predict their future courses, no wise men see a star to show where to find the babe that will save humankind. Yet each night a child is born is a holy night. Fathers and mothers sitting beside their children's cribs feel glory in the sight of a new life beginning. They ask, where and how will this new life end? Or will it ever end? Each night a child is born is a holy night, a time for singing, a time for wondering, a time for worshiping.
Beloved, Howard Thurman teaches us, when the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flock, then the true work of Christmas begins, to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to rebuild nations, to bring peace among all people, to make music in the heart. Amen. Merry Christmas. Thank you.